We just got the news today that Doug Bowser is retiring at the end of 2025 as the president of Nintendo of America, and Devin Pritchard has been named the new president. We are here to talk about what this means for the future of NOA. We've worked very closely with Devin when we were at Nintendo, so we got some stories to tell about her and maybe some things to share about what kind of president we think Devin is going to be, but yeah, big news. So let's dig into it.
Look, this is why we are here. These are two people that we worked very closely with over our years. This is something that we predicted several years ago was going to happen, that right. Devin would be taking over into this role. So I think if you want the definitive overview of what is happening and why, you have come to the right place.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Let's get into some of the details here. So a press release has gone out announcing the retirement. There are several quotes in this release, one from Doug, one from Devin, and also one from Mr. Furukawa
Very nice.
Obviously, this is something that Nintendo put out to make the announcement. Doug is quoted first in this release, noting a quick note here. Doug is 60 this year, and so he's retiring at 60 years old. Fun fact, Reggie was 57 years old when he retired from Nintendo, and Doug took over as the president. So I guess we can just start with some of the facts here. We can read Doug's quote really quick. Doug says, "One of my earliest video game experiences was playing the arcade version of Donkey Kong. Since that time, all things Nintendo have continued to be a passion for both me and my family. Leading Nintendo of America has truly been an honor of a lifetime, and I'm proud of what our team has accomplished in both business results and the experiences we've created for consumers." And he goes on to say, "Now it's time for the next generation of leadership, and Devin's track record speaks for itself. She's an exceptional leader, and her promotion is a testament to her strong performance and strategic contributions to the company's growth. I have full confidence that she will guide the company to even greater heights." A very PR quote to put in this press release about Doug's Devin.
Always calling upon those early experiences with Donkey Kong. But, I mean, we talked to him. Like, these were genuine moments. Genuine. So it is said in a PR way, but that is a very genuine formative experience for him with games.
Yeah, absolutely. Doug is not a fraud, contrary to what...
Despite what you may have heard
people
lately.
People may have heard. It's actually not Doug's fault at all. Doug is actually a very, very nice person. He did the best job that he could, I think, being the president of Nintendo of America. I think that he was always very kind to both of us. I always thought about him first and foremost as just a very kind-hearted person. And you know what? I feel like that might be the best trait you could have as a human being. Like, who cares about being like, oh, a businessman, or like, I'm a rich guy who
drive results.
Yeah, who drove the results and blah, 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 and I got promoted. And no, I think you should strive for being a kind person, and that's what truly he was.
Did this news surprise you? It seemed like some people were really like, well, I'm reeling from this news.
No, not at all. Again, you were saying this at the start, is that we sort of predicted this. And I wouldn't even call it a prediction, because Nintendo straight up told us this when we were at the company. So it wasn't really a prediction. We're going to talk a little bit about sort of the succession plan and how that works at Nintendo. It's a little bit different, I think, than maybe some other companies. It's definitely a little bit unique. I mean, there's definitely companies out there that have similar succession plans, but Nintendo has a fairly like standardized one that they've been doing for a long time. So this was no surprise to me. Absolutely saw this one coming. I was sort of like counting the days, like, all right, TikTok, Switch 2's been out for a bit. Like, when is Doug hanging it up? Because I felt like for sure he was gonna get the thing out the door, the new system out the door, and then probably just, start to transition away. So not surprised.
Exactly. We didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, but we knew that Doug was, a little bit on the older side when he stepped into this role. So it's not like he was going to be in it for decades and decades. So it was really a matter of finding the right time for the business. And honestly, what what he was feeling as far as how much longer he wants to do this very big job that has you traveling all over the world and doing video conferences many, many hours into the night and into the morning. And you reach a certain point, you're like, I'm ready to be done with this.
It's very tiring. Yeah. Very, like, just, like, physically and mentally draining. And yeah, Doug, you know, he has a wonderful family that I'm sure he'd love to see sometimes.
He has so, real hobbies outside of work.
He totally has.
Which sometimes these business people, it's like, my passion is emailing.
I know. I mean, I guess you found your calling if you're that person. Certainly is not what we like to do, and definitely not what Doug wanted to do either. But yeah, you know, he probably wants to enjoy his life. So I'm actually very happy for him. I'm always inspired by the people that retire at the right time in their life and don't like try to like, oh, I got to work like 10 more years and grind this out, you know, but like, just like Reggie, you know, he retired at 57, Doug retiring at 60, like you're still like young enough to like do some stuff now and have your whole, you know, your own life and your own time back. Like that's a very admirable thing to do. But yeah, and then, you know, in the same announcement, Nintendo did very clearly state that Devin Pritchard is taking over as the president of Nintendo of America. And we have this quote from Devin. Devin says, I'm humbled and excited to take on this new role. Doug has been a fantastic mentor, and I look forward to building on the incredible foundation he has helped establish. With characters and worlds that offer something for everyone, my focus will be continuing to build on Nintendo's legacy of surprising and delighting our longtime fans, while at the same time welcoming new players into the Nintendo family. Again, very PR quote, as it is in these very kind of scrubbed down, crystal clean press releases. But yeah, I guess we can talk a little bit about Devin here and her background. So we worked with Devin for a very long time. I think in the press release, they said she's a 19-year veteran of the video game industry. She spent a long time at Nintendo, and she started out on the legal team, actually. She was leading the legal team for pretty much the majority of her time at Nintendo. And then in, what did we say, it was 2021, when there were some changes in the office locations and some changes around leadership around that time, Devin was put into the role of head of sales and marketing. And so she kind of worked from there, from legal to sales to marketing to her current role now, which is the president.
And what's interesting was, you know, when we were early on at Nintendo, like, she was not that much higher up than we were. So we would have just kind of ordinary interactions with her. It's not like she was this out of reach executive that you know, we never could speak to or interact with. We absolutely did. So we did kind of get a feel for her as just like an on the level person. But again, there was a retirement in the NOA legal department of a person who had been in that head role for a very long time.
Right.
And she was able to really catapult her way up and was in that kind of top spot on the legal side for a really long time and cemented herself there. And then, like you said, there was another person named Nick Chavez, who was the head of sales and marketing. And that was always kind of the question after Doug took over was, between those two, who might be the next person? Or maybe there would be some wild card third person, but we always felt it was between those two people. But Nick Chavez left in 2021 to go work at KFC to work on chicken.
Yes, the chicken.
And it became immediately clear to us of like, all right, all is decided.
Well,
this is the way.
Yeah, it was decided for them because he left. So, I mean, he left on his own. He left to take another opportunity somewhere else. And so they were like, well, now we don't have to decide because it's going to be Devin. Not to like discount her merits, obviously. Like, I think we both have a lot of respect for Devin. I've only had positive experiences working with her. I know, you know, from my experiences working with her, she's incredibly, incredibly smart. And, you know, she was coming from the role of being very much focused on the legal side of things. And she had to learn a whole new job of sales and marketing. She had to learn all of that stuff. And she was so open to like learning from us. Like we gave her so many like crash courses. Like our boss, we got to give her the crash course in like PR and social media and influencer, because she is coming from a different background. But she was incredibly open to like absorbing all of that information, learning from people around her. And I think she's awesome. I think that's a fantastic get for Nintendo to have her as president.
Right. So again, after Nick Chavez left, she assumed his job. She left as the head of legal to go take over sales and marketing, which on one hand, it was like, wait, that's a really important job. And she's like the best person around for it. So there was a question around that. But again, in terms of everything falling into place, it's like, no, if you're going to be the next president, you need to understand everything that the company is about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at what Nintendo of America does. It does legal stuff. It does sales and marketing.
Right.
So those are the things that you need to understand the best. And I think if you look back at the history of all of the people who have been in those really, really top leadership positions at Nintendo, they've either had a marketing or a legal background.
Yeah. Reggie had a marketing background, for example.
Right, right. But if you look at somebody like a Howard Lincoln, legal background.
Legal background. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I think Devin is absolutely capable, more than capable, of taking over this role. And she's, you know, Devin's like in her 50s, so she's probably going to be in for a longer haul as well. She's not going to be like sort of what Doug was in terms of like, I'm going to fill this role for a few years knowing that I'm going to be retiring, you know, soon. And Devin, I'm going to make sure that Devin is supported and ready to take over when Doug leaves. So I think that it's a little bit different mindset for Devin, because she's like, okay, I'm in it. I'm in it for like 10 years at least.
It's kind of like when Reggie took over. I mean, Reggie, you know, joined at the company when he was in, I think, his mid to late 40s, and he was just there for a long time. So I think this is somebody that people can expect to get familiar with and hear her name for a really long time. And I think that's great for her that she has this long runway to really understand what's going on from that high level, learn the job. You know, there's other supports that have been put in place that we're going to talk about to help her with that. But yeah, it feels like a really good, they call it an on-ramp in the corporate world. It feels like it's going to be a good transition for her.
Yeah, exactly. Also in this release was a quote from the global president of Nintendo, Mr. Furukawa, and he says, during his tenure, Doug made numerous contributions to bring smiles to the faces of people connected to Nintendo. I would like to express my gratitude for his strong efforts. Devin, who will become the next president, has also made many contributions to Nintendo over the years. I'm confident that, like Doug, Devin will continue to support Nintendo's important mission of creating smiles. Wow. How cute.
And obviously this is not a decision that can be made without his approval. Without his thumbs up, without his heavy, heavy involvement.
Right.
But again, this is not news to him. This is something that's been in the works for a long time, that whenever Doug is ready, we'll put this plan into place. And whenever things are ready for the company, we can do this. So he's obviously very bought in and he's going to help with the transition himself.
Exactly. He's going to have to, because he's going to have to work with her a lot more now.
Right. But it's not, you know, she already had extensive involvement, conversations with all of the highest level leadership at NCL.
Yes, of course, of course. So this is a good place, I think, to dig a little bit deeper into this succession plan that is very typical to Nintendo, but maybe news to some people how this kind of works. And you know, might seem a little different than maybe other companies or other companies that put like big leadership roles in place. So yeah, like we were saying before, you know, we were not surprised by this at all, because the succession plan has been in place for a very long time, for years. So it's very typical at Nintendo for like everybody in the company, even if it's not like formally announced, like you just kind of
had
know.
To do this.
You had to do this.
Yeah,
exactly. Everybody has to do it. Any leader person in a leadership role has to do it. But you basically
you were going to inherit my kingdom.
I was?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that sounds... I don't want it. I reject this plan. No, just kidding. But yeah, everybody that is in like a top leadership position has to put together like a succession plan that gets bought into by everybody that is a stakeholder in this, but especially for like these big leadership position, president, you know, head of X department or whatever. Like you kind of know what that's going to look like for years and years before anything happens. So, you know, when Reggie retired, obviously we were all very sad that Reggie was retiring, but we never questioned like, oh no, what's going to happen? You know, like what will the company do now? Like we were all pretty like, you know, settled in the idea that like, oh, if somebody retires, if something happens, like we know who is next in line to sit the throne, as they say. So it is interesting because when you're putting something like this together or when you're like, you know, with people in leadership roles, like it's a weird, almost like morbid thing. It's like, yeah, if something happens to you, like we know who's taking over for you. But that's how Nintendo was. Like they were very much like this for all of the leadership roles. And it was something that was sort of like almost like public and within the company. And you kind of just knew what the system was going to be like years and years in advance.
Yeah, and it's something that's kind of obvious if you follow the company, but there are companies who will sometimes be like, all right, let's look outside the company for somebody to fill this role. And that's just not something Nintendo's interested in. Like they do things their own way. It's so important that they do things their way that, you know, this has been the perfect way to bring her on, to get her to learn everything that the business does, to have those almost 20 years of experience. Just bringing someone on cold would be a recipe for disaster.
And they've done that not for big leadership roles like head of departments or like the president, but they've done it for like director, even like, you know, director level.
They've done it for some pretty high people and they have had some
and they have had bad results. Really bad results. Yeah. Like if you want to do your own digging on this.
Like, I'm gonna do it my way. It's like, well, you're kinda not.
Yeah. Like a lot of those people, I don't think any of the I don't think any of those people that were brought in from the outside to do something in a leadership role, they have not lasted because they tried to like step outside the box, you know, and they're like, no, but back at Disney, I did it this way and you hired me, right? Because I was at Disney. So now I'm going to tell you what's what. And then they're like, absolutely not. Actually, you're fired. So yeah, that is not how the typical succession plan works at Nintendo. There's very rarely somebody from the outside. It's very much like, you know, it's almost like a monarchy where you're like, yeah, I am the next one. And then the next one after me is that person. And the next one after that person is that person. It's like, yeah, you really know it. You know, you really, truly know it. Like you were going to take over for our VP if she had left. That was your succession plan.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knew. So that's kind of what it's like. We talked a little bit about, I mean, obviously Mr. Furukawa is quoted in this press release, so he knows about this. He knew this was coming, but what exactly is NCL's involvement in all of this? You know, he, obviously has worked with Devin before. Members of the NCL executive team has worked very closely with leadership at NOA, at Nintendo of America, but what exactly, like, what is the level of authority that they have over this kind of decision?
Well, it's huge, and their authority right now is bigger than ever, kind of in the post-Reggie era. So, you know, it's something that NOA needs to prepare. It's something they need to share with NCL and get them to understand and buy off on. And obviously they did, and I think they did enthusiastically buy off on this, because I think it's everybody understood that this is the right decision. But again, they have a huge amount of say. And there's this one other wrinkle to all of this, which is, you know, somebody coming in to act as the CEO that may have been another follow-up point from their side of, yes, let's do this, but let's also do this.
That's right. And that person is actually Satoru Shibata, who you guys might remember his face from the European Nintendo Direct. So he was the head of NOE for a time. And then he left that role and went back to Japan and sat on the executive board there. And now he's being brought in as the NOA CEO. So that's kind of interesting. So they, Nintendo put out this big document that detailed like everybody's promotions and movements and things like that. And sort of this was buried in that. But we did want to talk a little bit about like, what is this job that is NOA, CEO of NOA, and why we think Mr. Shibata may have been brought in specifically at this time when Devin is making the transition to president to do that job.
So he's got a lot of business cards now because he's taking on this job, but he's not giving up any of his other jobs. So
I know.
Everything that he was still doing at NCL, he's going to continue to do. And he had really important responsibilities. Like he was overseeing at a very high level, the marketing departments, the license, game licensing departments, all sorts of things. So he's very busy.
Yes.
But and I did see some people saying like, oh, I didn't know that NOA ever had a CEO. Well, they have. In the past, they had Mr. Kimishima, even
right.
during Reggie's time, was the CEO for a long period of time. And he eventually, after Mr. Iwata passed on, overtook his job for a few years. So it's not unusual. And I think his placement there is just to help Devin really get comfortable in the role, help her with more of those NOA to NCL relation type of things. I don't think he's necessarily moving to Seattle. I think he's going to be on a lot of planes going back and forth because he's got so much going on. But yeah, that's really the idea is, again, in the spirit of let's put her in the best position to succeed. I'm going to be here every so often. We're going to meet. We're going to talk about things that you need to learn, challenges that you might be having. And we're going to work through all of that.
Yes, yes. This is a good, helpful thing for her because there's just so much nuance to the relationships that you have to maintain with NCL. And at her level, it's like even more, it's like something I cannot even imagine, like the amount of tactfulness and kind of those read the room situations that she's going to be finding herself in. It's just really helpful for her to have Mr. Shibata as like that sounding board because he's been through a lot of this and he also like sits in NCL. So he knows like sort of the nuances of where they may be coming from in certain situations. So yeah. And he's great. So she's very lucky to have him.
We like everybody involved in this
to help her. Yeah.
And again, since he was the head of NOE, he's like, well, I understand the role that you're going into.
Exactly.
Because I was the head of this other subsidiary. So, you know, let me help you from not only my side now as an NCL executive, but as somebody who's done this job before, here's what you can look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, she's very lucky to have him to help her through some of this transition stuff. Well, we talked a little bit about Devin's background and our experience working with her, and we have so much confidence that she's going to do a wonderful job as the president. But what kind of president do we think she's going to be? On the spectrum of Doug to Reggie, if Reggie's the far side and Doug is the other side, where does Devin fall on that spectrum, would you say?
I don't think we're going to see externally any difference at all. And I think that is the plan. That is the goal, to
yes.
have it be very seamless from an outside point of view. I don't think people should expect to learn a ton about her. Because, I mean, you know, Doug, like we did get to know a bit about Doug. And people, you know, people said, like, gosh, we don't know much about him anymore. Lately, we don't get to see him. I don't think you're going to get to see much of Devin or learn much more about Devin because that's the plan. It's like you're there to do this job on an internal side. These days, the job is not to be a face of the company. So I think from all of us on the outside's perspective, you won't notice a thing.
Exactly. I was just going to say that like the people that are thinking, okay, now that we have a new president in, it's time for us to get back to the Reggie days where, you know, Reggie was everywhere. He was like the face of Nintendo of America. He was in goofy videos doing the Yo-Kai Watch dance and he was in Nintendo Directs and he was doing all sorts of stuff. Interviews, you know, quotes, and Reggie was everywhere, right? Reggie was sort of ubiquitous to the idea of being the face of and away. And absolutely, that is not going to be the case for Devin. Even though she's the new person coming in, I think it's going to be totally the same as it is now, where they have very sort of, from a brand voice, they'll tell you the things, you know, and then they have the people that are in the directs, and those are going to be the people in the directs. You probably won't be hearing Devin in like a media interview anytime soon. She's not going to be a public figure in any sense of the word.
When Reggie was leaving, we didn't have a pretty robust plan for communications of like, we need to get people to get to know Doug, to understand Doug, to put him out there a bit more. I'd be surprised if they even go so far. There may be a couple small things that are done, but I don't expect it to be much. A better question a lot of people have is, does Devin play games?
Yeah. Does Devin play games? Would you like to answer that question?
She does. I wouldn't say that she's like the heaviest gamer of all time, but frankly, you know, at this point, I wouldn't say that Doug was either. Like, their connection with games is like understanding the Nintendo products that they are putting out at this point. I will say, Devin has some young kids, so she does get to see the perspective of games through them, which is good. Like, I had some very like insightful conversations with her about the industry and about games and about, you know, Nintendo's games. So I think she's really on it. I think she understands that stuff really well. And also just like the bigger picture of where Nintendo is in games. But, you know, unlike Reggie, she's not going to be posting a screenshot of like, here's my 200 hours in the latest Dragon Quest. That's just not going to happen.
Exactly. My perspective on her, like, relationship with gaming is she definitely like loves Nintendo. You know, she also, like all of us, have these childhood memories of connecting with Nintendo in some way, shape, or form. She's probably not like playing games every day for many hours. She's not like, you know, a core gamer, as we like to call it, but she definitely understands the industry, and she understands like how Nintendo fits into the games industry. And she knows, like, she's very plugged in to what is happening. But like, as, you know, a capital G gamer or whatever, I don't think that's who she is. As a lot of people pointed out, this was really funny, the photo that she has right now that's kind of circulating around on her LinkedIn is her holding one of the enemies from Pikmin. And everyone's like, oh my God, Devin is a Pikmin fan. We're going to get the next Pikmin game now, finally. Okay, I'm going to hear tell you, break your hearts right now. Not going to happen. She's not really a Pikmin fan.
I mean, Mr. Miyamoto's telling somebody to do it, but not because of her.
It's not because of her. And she's just holding the thing because she's like a Nintendo thing. You know, right. It's not like because she's like the world's biggest Pikmin fan or something like that. Yeah.
I actually don't know what her favorite Nintendo series is. I wish I knew. I don't.
I don't either. Yeah, I think she's only mentioned to me the games that her kids are playing. I never heard from her, like, this is the game that I'm playing that I really like. But I definitely, like, I know that her kids definitely play Nintendo games. And she's always talking about, like, oh, yeah, they're, like, playing, I have kids at home playing Smash and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
So what does this mean? What does this mean for the future of Nintendo? What do we think sort of the next 5, maybe 10, you know, for the next, the Devin era, what does it look like for Nintendo?
I don't think it really means anything, again, for us. The kind of regimes that you really need to focus on are the ones that are in Japan right now. You know, it's the Furukawa regime, the Miyamoto regime, all of those other people that are there, because they are really dictating the strategies and the activities that all of these subsidiaries are executing. And if you are a Nintendo of America employee, there may be some differences, but even then, I think it's going to be a continuation of what has come to this point.
Right. Exactly. I think, yeah, the things to pay attention to, and we actually did a video about this a little while ago, is like, we've been watching very closely the retirement ages of other very important people in Japan, including some of the biggest game developers ever. You know, really getting up there, much older than Doug, even. So they're really getting up there in age in terms of their, you know, time at Nintendo maybe coming to an end. And when that happens, I do think there may be a shift that we publicly can see, because maybe the games will feel a little bit different, or the way they do things are a little bit different, because those sort of old guard people that have been there since the beginning of time for Nintendo will be leaving. But in this sense, I think, yeah, they are putting Devin in place to sort of continue on what Doug's been doing, and sort of the way that they are representing NOA nowadays, without having this person as the face of NOA, is going to be what is continuing on. So let's talk a little bit about Doug. Again, we're really happy for him that he is able to now take a nice break and enjoy his life and not be in a 9 p.m. NCL meeting. So congratulations, Doug, to have his life back. But what is Doug's legacy? What did he leave at Nintendo?
You know, there's this kind of idea. Sometimes you hear it about presidents or CEOs, of like a wartime versus a peacetime leader. Yes. And I think he was just a great peacetime leader for Nintendo. You know, he took over mid-Switch generation, and he really carried that momentum for that system to have as much sales opportunity as it did. He drove the record-breaking launch of the Switch 2 and navigated probably some tumultuous times with that. And that's absolutely why this is happening now, which is that, all right, we're past that. Things are in a settled place. We're feeling good. This is a good time to make a transition. They yeah. definitely would not do this, you know,
before
on June 1st, when we're about to launch a new system. They wouldn't do that. So that's what I would say, is just like an extremely strong sort of peacetime leader for the company. You know, you don't have to make these like, oh, these arduous decisions like a Mr. Iwata did, of like, oh, we're going to cut the price like that. You didn't have to do any of that stuff. You exactly. just kind of really needed to make sure that you could execute the plan as it was and do it the best that you could. And he did. I will say, as a Nintendo employee, there is something that I'll remember from him that people don't know, which is, we had some hard times during the pandemic. That was a difficult time for us. And I do give him a lot of credit for being a very good leader for us as employees throughout the pandemic, to make us feel comfortable, you know, make us feel like he was looking out for us, that we could do our jobs, but he was also thinking about us as people. I give him a lot of credit for that. I appreciate him a lot for that.
Yeah. I think a peacetime president's biggest challenge and thing that they have to do is focus. And he had it. Like, this is the thing where, like, you're just sailing that ship and you got to focus on the goal, and you don't need to like, oh, I gotta turn the wheel like a bunch of times. I gotta snake the path. No, you stay focused and you go down the path. And a lot of people can't even do that, honestly. Like, a lot of leaders, like, literally don't have the focus to even do that. And he was very focused. He was very careful about like where he spent his energy, and he, you know, took the ship to the destination, and now he can be like, bye, I'm good now. I did my job.
We have reached the destination.
We have reached the destination, and I've done my job, and I've done it well and efficiently. And so that is just like a huge compliment, you know, to him, that is more difficult to do than you might think. And yeah, I think we said that before, you know, at the beginning of this video, like, my personal legacy of Doug is that he was a kind-hearted person. And again, I think that is like the most, like, the best impression that you can leave on somebody, is that they remember you to be like a nice person, a person that actually truly cared about the people around him. And your pandemic story is a great example of that. I've never, ever felt like, you know, Doug was somebody that was like, well, for the business, Krista, I need you to like destroy your life and body. He was never, ever like that.
And we never heard anybody around us or at the company say, oh my God, Doug was so mean, or Doug was
he hurt me.
Exactly. Like, oh, yeah. Doug was so short-sighted, or Doug doesn't care about me. Like, that didn't happen.
It was absolutely the opposite, where people always said like, gosh, Doug is such a caring person. Oh, look at this nice thing that Doug did that made me feel, you know, feel good and made me feel like I was a valued employee. Like, it was always those stories about Doug. So I think that is a beautiful legacy for him to leave. So yeah, it's just, you know, leave on a high note. Big congratulations to Doug for finishing it up strong. And now he can enjoy his life.
That's right.
Wow. Well, there you have it. That is the tea on the Nintendo succession plan and the new president, Devin Pritchard, joining or rising to the role of president of Nintendo of America. Let us know how you feel about this in the comments. Sorry if we dashed anybody's dreams about Pikmin 4.
It's still coming. Pikmin 5, excuse me.
Pikmin 5, whatever.
Excuse you.
Don't really care, honestly. Anyways, that is it. We're going to wrap it up. And we'll see you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.